Against all odds, Ukraine's army has managed to hold off a full-scale Russian invasion, but now they face a protracted war while outgunned and outmanned by Russia. NPR's Emily Fang spent time with the soldiers who fought a key battle in Ukraine's east.
The battle for control over the eastern Ukrainian city of Severodonetsk and its sister city, Lysychansk, was intensely bloody. I met some of the surviving Ukrainian soldiers at their base near the eastern city of Dnipro, 2 days after they'd come off a brutal 3-month stint in Severodonetsk. It ended only after Ukraine's army withdrew. One of the soldiers is Oleg. He is 21, tense, and has no time for small talk.
The firing was dense. Their only tactics revolved around artillery shelling. The Russians have so much ammunition, they could afford to shell continuously, and we didn't have enough ammunition to suppress their fire.
When Russia invaded in February, his military academy let Oleg graduate early so he could enlist. Now he's responsible for the lives of more than 260 infantry soldiers at the very front lines of the war. We're only using people's first names in this piece so they cannot be located or identified in case of Russian attack.
Of
course I'm afraid of death, but I am a military commander. If I show fear, my deputies will be scared as well. I must be a lion leading my deer.
The experience of Oleg and others we met gives us a glimpse into what a protracted war with Russia could look like. Dedication to protecting their country is extremely strong. But as the war drags on, the battalions are increasingly staffed by exhausted soldiers, plagued by a constant shortage of military experience, artillery, and ammunition.
Russia uses the same weapons as us. It's just they have more of it. If I set 100 mines a day, they set, say, 500. In terms of manpower, they have 6 men for every 1 soldier we have.
This is Sasha, the head of a mortar unit. His men spent 3 months living in underground dugouts and basements, running through forests outside the city on 8-hour shifts, packing artillery with new shells. Like all the soldiers we spoke to, Sasha praised the American and European weapons they'd received. The problem was there just wasn't enough. Though recently, Ukraine says it's hit about a dozen Russian ammunition depots using U.S.-provided heavy weapons.
The specter of war stays with us. Here, we miss the boom, boom, boom of war. It's too silent. On the front, silence means the enemy is loading their weapons and about to kill you.
Oleg and Sasha's entire brigade is comprised of volunteers who enlisted in March. Some had military training from decades before, but most were fresh recruits, fired up by patriotism. At most, they got 3 weeks of training before shipping out.
No. Давайте я отвечу так, да, 22 марта.
You asked me about training, so let me answer this way. I enlisted on March 22nd, and by April 4th, I was in Severodonetsk.
That's Alexander, another soldier. He was a former solar panel installer. He's already lived through 8 years of war, starting in 2014 when Russian-backed separatists seized territory in Ukraine's east next to his home. But nothing prepared him for the front. And now he's worried young volunteers are being shipped out without adequate training. It also means, long-term, Ukraine's military will struggle to accumulate experience.
Смотрите, дело не в командирах.
The young soldiers are like a sponge. They absorb everything, but they need time to be cultivated. A commander may need 30 years' experience, but they're 20-year-old boys who are giving their lives even though they haven't even seen life yet.
Giving their lives to Ukrainian citizens who are not always grateful. Before this war, Ukraine was deeply split, with many people in the east, including Severodonetsk, openly pro-Russian. And what surprised Oleg, the head of the infantry battalion, was the lackluster welcome they received along the front lines from their fellow countrymen.
They looked at us as if we were aliens from another planet.
He says he saw videos on Russian social media with Ukrainian residents he'd met in Severodonetsk. He'd given food to some of them. But in the videos, they're welcoming the invading Russian soldiers.
When we see on social media how they greet the enemy with open arms, it leaves a stain on our souls.
Oleg's company will get less than 2 weeks' rest before they're back at the front lines fighting again. And the casualties of this war are mounting. That human toll is evident in this hospital we visit. The head of surgery at this hospital in Krivyi Rih, Dr. Oleksandr, says he's treated 900 frontline soldiers since the start of the war. But those were the ones who survived long enough to be brought to the hospital.
I've treated soldiers before, but with the expansion of the battlefield and the use of deadlier weapons, the concentration of serious wounds has increased.
Ukraine will not say exactly how many military casualties there have been, but Ukraine's President Zelensky says as many as 100 to 200 soldiers are dying a day. One of the lucky survivors is Yaroslav, a former Muay Thai instructor. In late June, a mortar exploded inside the roadside dugout Yaroslav was in. He still has flashbacks of the bits of skin and limbs that plastered the concrete walls. Some of the bits were his. At one point, his heart stopped, and he's been told he'll need 6 months for his shattered leg and abdominal punctures to heal.
Recovery is hard, especially when I remember the pain and fear I saw in my comrades as they were screaming in that dugout. There was a lot of blood. I now have nightmares at night. The fear is ever present.
33-year-old Konstantin remembers everything after a Russian missile hit a tank he was standing next to in June.
I was awake even when they started cutting off the remnants of my clothes from me. I even remember how the rocket looked as it flew towards us.
Konstantin's ginger beard is still blackened from his burns. His left forearm tattoo of a grove of bamboo trees is nearly flayed beyond recognition.
I went blind and was thrown like a sack of potatoes by the blast. Pain coursed through my body. I could feel my right arm was wounded. I tried to put on a tourniquet, but I was so tired. And I thought, just let me die. But then I thought, no, I've survived so much.
He survived, but his doctor clinically lists how he painstakingly put Konstantin's body back together, including a month of skin grafts using pigskin. Like some other soldiers in his regiment, Konstantin spent most of his adult life fighting. He was a former IT engineer, but he enlisted in 2014 when Russian-backed separatists took control of his home city in Ukraine's eastern Donetsk region. And he's optimistic he'll get better soon and rejoin the fight.
We have to fight back against Russia, or else Russia will simply find new targets.
But later in private, Konstantin's doctor tells us quietly that his right ear and eye will never regain function. He hasn't had the heart to tell the soldier. It means Konstantin is no longer fit for military service, despite the fact that the Ukrainian military desperately needs more men like him, because it is burning through them at a perilous rate. Emily Fang, NPR News, Dnipro, Ukraine.